Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Combat medals, citations. Only man to shoot down 3 enemy planes in the last 40 years. Yet you can't get a promotion, you won't retire. Despite your best efforts, you refuse to die. You should be at least a 2-star admiral by now. Yet here you are, captain. Why is that?
It's one of life's mysteries, sir.
That's the unmistakable voice of Tom Cruise there, playing Pete Maverick Mitchell in Top Gun Maverick, the sequel to the original film released 36 years ago. And belated sequels like that one, they're not unique. You only have to look at Indiana Jones, Princess or General Leia in Star Wars, and Sidney Prescott in Scream. All iconic characters from movies that were resurrected years later in what's being termed a legacy-quel movie. So what makes a good legacy-quel? This is a new one for me too. And what ones are worth watching? Well, I'm joined by Rory Cash, an entertainment editor at joe.ie, and also Deirdre Malumpy at independent.ie. You're both very welcome. So Rory, just this whole thing, is it a thing, the legacy-quel?
I think it is, but like you can just call it a sequel. It's fine.
or a prequel.
Yeah. Like there's actually loads. There's a sidequel. A movie that takes place alongside another movie, but it's actually around the same time.
Also called Cashing In.
Yes, there's a requel, which is essentially remaking the original movie, but pretending it's a sequel. There's so many different types of quels, but this one does seem to be the most popular because people love nostalgia. They love it.
Yep, that's undeniable. And Deirdre, from your perspective, there is a difference, isn't there, when it comes to sequel and a prequel, and then we're looking at legacy-quel.
Yeah, I suppose so. I think the whole idea of a legacy-quel is it is partly a sequel and it is partly a reboot. And the whole idea of it is, like we've been saying, cashing in on this nostalgia of, these old characters, these old movies, while also introducing this new cast of characters. So legacy-quels, they do typically exist in the same continuity as the original films, but take place some amount of years later. And actually, we're finding that with a lot of the legacy-quels that are coming out now, they can be as many as, you know, kind of 30 years away from the original film, as we're seeing even with Top Gun Maverick now. And I think that a lot of the thrill of it is seeing those original characters. But I also think there might be just a little bit of a guilty pleasure in us checking out the actors all these years later and thinking, I wonder how well, you know, they've aged and how good they are at recreating this character
now. And that is like an essential ingredient, isn't it, Rory, that you have to have at least one or two of the original cast.
For most of them, yes. There are some examples where that's not the case. Mad Max Fury Road comes to mind immediately because that was a very long delayed sequel after Thunderdome, and it has pretty much none of the original cast because it has Tom Hardy replacing Mel Gibson. And there are some other examples. Doctor Sleep is a legacy sequel to The Shining, and that has Ewan McGregor as the lead in it, but he's playing a grown-up version of young Danny from the original film. But more often than not, yeah, you'd see Jamie Lee Curtis coming back for the Halloween legacy sequels. You'll see Linda Hamilton back for The Terminator. More often than not, it does require some of the older cast members to come back to kind of pass the torch along.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that fulfills the desire for the nostalgia, right? That scratches that itch for us.
That, and also sometimes those movies are a vague remake of the first one. So The Force Awakens and Star Wars just feels like A New Hope. Jurassic World has a lot in common with Jurassic Park. The comeback of Halloween, it's Michael Myers again with his big knife. And that's what the original Halloween was. So it's giving people what they want with a slightly kind of updated shine on it.
Yeah, I mean, if you were being very cynical, Deirdre, you just say that they're looking at it going, well, it worked then, it might work again. And if it doesn't work for a new audience, the old audience who enjoyed it 30 years ago, they're going to come back.
That's just it. And I think that's why we're particularly seeing a lot of the Lego sequels to these films, particularly that came out in the 1980s, because there is that nostalgic audience out there who want to go back to the cinema. They want to see the likes of Han Solo and Indiana Jones and Laurie Strode and Maverick and all of those guys back on the big screen again. And even in the case of, you know, horrors are kind of a genre that get the Lego sequel treatment again and again, because people are going back looking for that scare factor. You know, we want to see Michael Myers back and Ghostface and Chucky and all of these villains. And I think fans do get a kick out of both seeing those characters back on the big screen again and the nostalgia around that. But also they want to know what happened next to these characters that we have, you know, grown up with and loved. What has happened, you know, in the interim of that 15-year period, 30-year period or whatever it may be.
There can be some crossover here as well when it comes to movies and TV. Like, you can have a TV series that crosses over to a film screen years later, or a TV series that returns after years having not been on the small screen.
Yeah, and I think that that's a really interesting trend that we're seeing now. Like, I think that Lego sequels, people do immediately associate them with film, but we have seen some examples in TV as well. Cobra Kai on Netflix, I think, would be a big example. So that's actually a TV series which serves as a follow-up to The Karate Kid, which was actually a movie, and that's going into its fifth season, I think, on Netflix now. So that's proven to be a really big hit. You've also got, say, the Star Trek spin-off Picard, which stars Patrick Stewart in the titular role again. Saved by the Bell would have gotten a Lego sequel series recently. Will and Grace, even the recent Obi-Wan Kenobi, which is streaming on Disney Plus now. And you've got The Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power. That's a legacy sequel series that we can look forward to. And that's going to be on Amazon Prime.
And there's a full list of everything that we're mentioning on our website, rt.ie/todayCB. Let's take a listen to a clip from Saved by the Bell, the reboot. Here are all the familiar voices from the iconic 90s show paying tribute to their friend Screech.
Hope you're hungry. You guys are the first to try the newest addition to the Max menu, Screech's Spaghetti Burger.
Oh.
Kevin?
Hey. Oh.
Kevin, you look amazing.
Thank you. I've had some work done.
Wow. Haven't we all?
Mm. You know, it's a little weird, but great.
Then I like Screech.
To Screech.
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 That entice you, Rory, to go back and watch that again?
No. No, I'm good. Spaghetti burgers. No, thank you. No.
I know you're into horror, though. You like horror movies, don't you?
Yeah, like horror, a big horror fan. Big, as you mentioned, Scream and Halloween are the two biggest examples. But there are, like, this Creed is a legacy sequel to Rocky. Blade Runner 2049 is a legacy sequel to a film that didn't do well the first time it came out. Like, there's a huge cult following.
Someone who said, I'm going to make this work.
Whether it matters, like whether it does well or not, it ended up costing a huge amount of money and the new one didn't do super well either. So.
Well, look, Scream is one that people will be interested in, I know, because it was huge at the time when it came out first. And we have a clip here of the classic.
This isn't funny, Amber.
Would you like to play a game, Tara?
That's from the latest one, the latest Scream movie. I just don't want to be scared. I can't. No, I don't care if it's Scream 1, 2, or 7. I don't want to be frightened.
That's the vaguely irritating thing about this is that it's called Scream. The new one's called Scream as opposed to Scream 5.
Yeah, so, because it gets embarrassing, doesn't it?
After a certain number, you have to stop. Like, that's what they did it with Halloween. It's just Halloween. But the new one's good, and they have a sequel to the legacy sequel now coming out, I think, next year. So it made a lot of money. Like I said, nostalgia. Mm-hmm. Nostalgia sells.
What about examples, Deirdre, that you've seen of female characters taking over the mantle from a male lead? Because this happens in this genre, doesn't it?
That's just it. I mean, the recent Star Wars trilogy is probably going to be your main example there, with Daisy Ridley's character taking over from both. You kind of have both The Force Awakens, in which she kind of takes the torch from Han Solo, and then in the subsequent movie as well from Mark Hamill. But you also get a lot of kind of female-led legacy sequels in the horror genre, like we've been talking about in terms of like Halloween, Terminator, Dark Fate, and Scream. So I quite like that. I think that there aren't a lot of genres out there that we typically get kind of our female leads. But, you know, Laurie Strode, Sarah Connors, and Sydney Prescott and Gail Weathers, they are these, you know, heroines that we've grown up with who return in these movies to face their demons, both literal and metaphorical. And often these films would include young female protagonists who get the torch handed on to them. So I think that there's a bit of a, you know, a kind of thrill factor in that regard as well.
Can you predict, Rory, what we might be looking at in terms of legacy sequels coming up in time? The ones that might lend themselves to this?
My big swing is Back to the Future. Because the director of the original, Robert Zemeckis, has been very open, saying, I will not allow a sequel or a remake to be made for as long as I'm alive.
Okay. So once, I know what's coming next.
Yeah. So once he's no longer around, Hollywood would be like, yep, and we'll just take that and we'll sequelize it or legacy sequelize it pretty quickly.
And it would be perfect.
And it would be perfect. And I can see Gladiator coming soon as well.
Okay. Any predictions from you, Deirdre?
I really wish that they wouldn't, but I can imagine the Christopher Nolan Batman trilogy is probably one that they're going to look at. I mean, I think the thing about legacy sequels is we don't know we want them until they exist. I feel that that's kind of a theme that comes up again and again. And another legacy sequel I can see happening is Speed, because Keanu Reeves has already been involved in quite a few legacy sequels at this stage. He did Bill and Ted Face the Music in the last couple of years. Obviously, there was the new Matrix movie, The Matrix Resurrection. So I can see Speed legitimately happening. And I think I'd get a kick out of him and Sandra Bullock coming back to, you know, stop a speeding bus. I'm sure that there'll be a lot more action and CGI and cutting compared to the original. But I think I'd get a bit of a kick out of that.
Well, look, you've both given us a list of the legacy sequels that I think you rate, and we put them up on the website, Rory's list and Deirdre's list, both there now on rt.ie/todayCB. But for now, thank you both very much indeed for being with us. Next up, a true Irish welcome awaits Ukraine in the Aviva tonight. But how will the football go? Ken Early looks ahead to the Nations League clash.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.